Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T, for another episode of The Best Hour. We're back with Reverend Renee, my partner, my life, love, my soul companion, soulmate, all that good stuff. Nice to see you smiling.
I'm smiling. Those are lovely ways to be identified. And I love you.
I love you too. So we're going to be talking about, and we love you too, Mighty Companion. Thanks for listening and joining us here on the internet. So our lesson today is lesson 304 in A Course in Miracles workbook. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. Before we begin, let's join together for a moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath.
Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. I can obscure my holy sight if I intrude my world upon it. Nor can I behold the holy sights Christ looks upon unless it is his vision that I use. Perception is a mirror, not a fact. And what I look on is my state of mind reflected outward. I would bless the world by looking on it through the eyes of Christ, and I will look upon the certain signs that all my sins have been forgiven me.
You lead me from the darkness to the light, from sin to holiness. Let me forgive and thus receive salvation for the world. It is your gift, my Father, given me to offer to your holy Son, that he may find again the memory of you and of your Son as you created him. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. And so it is. Let's join together again for another moment of silence. Another good deep breath. I know we've said it many times, but like the world 24/7 is always presenting its argument, you know, its presentation of fear and trying to keep us hypnotized. This thought system called A Course in Miracles, this narrative of truth, of the way things really are, always brings us back to the beginning to understand that it is when we join in mind, the opposite of separation, when we join in union and relationship with the Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, that we begin to be the expression of Christ in field and form. Christ is, if you will, the frequency of love, the frequency of God that can be expressed in form. It's not a personality. It's not a person. It is a frequency of love. And it is one that, as I said, can be expressed in form, but we must join with it. And as we join with it, we must disjoin, separate from the mind of separation. You'd think it wouldn't complain about that. But it does, of course. And he refers to sins here, but just keep in mind that the reference to sin is that sin is just a misperception, an error of understanding, if you will, a misbelief, misperception, a misthought. That's a thought that's made of a mind that's operating from the perspective of not knowing. A mind that's insane. And so we don't hold people guilty. You know, we're innocent by reasons of insanity. We don't hold people guilty and punish people when they are classified as insane. And sin is not an eternal, you know, act against God, as it's been portrayed by church. Sin is just a reference to a mistake of perception, a misperception. Mm. And what else could the separated mind do? Because it's separated itself from knowing, the knowing of truth. And so in each of these lessons now, again, it's very circuitous. We keep coming back to the same point again and again. It's as we join in union and relationship with love, with Spirit, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, that we begin to remember, reconnect with our true self. It's the integration, the reintegration, if you will, of our all of these aspects of ourselves that we have separated ourselves from in our game of separation, the tiny man idea. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ, because it's everywhere. All of my brothers are the Christ.
Right. And yet we're so attached to this my world. We're attached to my world. The world, you know, they say thoughts leave not their source, right? And that which we make as distinguished from create, mm-hmm. is still our offspring in mm-hmm. some way. Are we not fond of the world we made, even though we complain about it, even though we see just how messed up it might be, yet there is this attachment to it. And one of the things that in my recent reading of the text that I really has hit home for me is that we're really at, you know, really the request here. It's in theory, none of this is very difficult for some of us to get, but really the request that seems challenging for us is that we're asked to be wholly committed, wholly 100% committed to the new choice and to the aboriginal choice, the only choice that there really is, right? But let not my world obscure this. And yet, do we not do that? And so we're being asked to be wholly committed to making that choice that we're going to let that go, because the thing I called my world is based on illusion and lies and the perception, right? It's my perception projected outward and then reflect it back to me. So this lesson is really reminding us of that, mm-hmm. that we're not victims, that we're the creator of our experience, and nothing occurs in our experience that we haven't somehow called forth. And we can follow the thread and see how we might have called forth, or we can just begin to accept that. And that if we do that, then we can begin to say, no, my world, what I'm calling my world, is a chimera. Somehow, at some point, it is based on the perception of not love, of quote unquote sin, of misperception, and I can let that go. And I think that's what we're having the experience of right now, and the great discomfort that we're experiencing of letting my world go, our collective world go, and watching it crumble, right? Because it no longer serves, because it was made from a frequency and a vibration that is becoming obsolete, if you will. It's like we're in this in-between era of going to a new operating system, which you've taught, you know, that concept before. And we're being asked to be 100% committed to this consciousness. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. And so the question then becomes, is this really what I want? You know, and so we go to desire. What do I truly want? What do I really want? Do I really still want the attachment to quote unquote my world? Or am I willing to let that go? Am I willing to let that child of mine go? You know, which we're not really trained to do, right? You know, am I willing to let that child of mine be what it is, but turn my full attention and appreciation to this Christ, this gift that is being given to me. And am I willing to let go of the unworthiness that obscures my ability to accept and receive this gift? A gift is being given. Are you willing to receive? And when you are willing to receive, are you willing to receive 100%? Because to take that gift, to accept and receive that gift, means that we're letting go of something else, you know? And so that's what that really comes up for me in that prayer part. You know, let me forgive and receive salvation for the world. It is your gift, my Father, given me to offer to your Holy Son, and that he may find again the memory of you and of your Son as you created him. You know, that memory, that aboriginal, that true memory of God is being restored. That's the gift. You know, I sit with my mom who doesn't have her memory of this experience, and oh, how I wish that memory could come back. But we're all in that experience. We can, oh, the poor people with dementia, the poor people with Alzheimer's. Well, hell, you know, we all kind of got this going a little bit, right? You know, we've forgotten too.
All of our past lives. We don't remember our past lives.
But I'm not talking about past lives. I'm talking about the remembrance of God, and the remembrance of our nature as Christ, that this gift is given and I am willing to receive. And my receiving and my receptivity is contingent upon my letting go of the world I believe I made, and all of my attachments to it, and all the ways I think that world keeps me safe, like as if, right? As if. It's like crazy. So anyway, let not my world obscure the sight of Christ today. I accept and receive this gift, and it is the gift of the sight of who you are and who my brothers and sisters are and who I am.
Yeah, and he even refers to in the text about our creations, you know, that we don't recognize our creations. But I kind of look around and think of, okay, well, maybe the kitty cat, you know, that we've made these things, we've created these things, and they show up to help us remember love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or cats and dogs and pets and animals. And
well, let's just name her. Her name is Isabel. We just love her, and she is this remembrance of love.
You know, circling back to the question, what is the second coming? Jesus says, for everyone who ever came to die or yet will come, or who is present now, is equally released from what he made. And this equality is Christ restored as one identity, capital I identity. In which all the children of God acknowledge that they are one. Yeah. It's just, I mean, we wouldn't miss this, you know. And, yeah.
Yeah, but what comes up for me when you read that, you mean I got to give up my personality? I love my personality. You know, how will I then be unique? There's still that desire, you know. So when I say be 100% committed, you know, in that commitment of this concept and this idea of, oh, we're all one, does seem to suggest that we give up our uniqueness, our specialness.
Yeah.
Our personality. And so how I answer that, at least for myself right now, and I'm sure that'll evolve and change, is that I just simply offer what I perceive or what my talents are, or what my unique aspects are, or what my personality is. I just offer it. I offer it to God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the source of my identity and my safety. There's something more and greater. So I offer it as I would my body, as I would my mind. You know, so I offer my personality as well, and those aspects that I believe are unique. And in that, I can allow the oneness that I already am.
Beautiful.
Let me not obscure the sight of Christ. Let not my world obscure the sight of Christ. Let me just take a breath. And behold the perfect lesson for us today.
That's right. And thank you, Mighty Companion, for hanging out with us. We love you so much. Stay the course. And we'll be right here working through this course with you. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send